Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi everyone, and welcome to the Robots Podcast, episode 154. My name is Jana, and today we will be looking behind the scenes of Schunk, one of the big names in clamping technology and gripping systems. But first, let's get an update on what's been happening in robotics from Christine.
Thank you, Jana. The threat of nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons comes with a territory for modern soldiers. The problem is that testing a protective suit's effectiveness against nerve gas or anthrax is tricky, because, like testing a bulletproof vest, it's not exactly the sort of thing you want to do while someone is wearing it. For decades, the answer has been to use mannequins kitted out with sensors as stand-ins for soldiers. But mannequins tend to give little information about the suit in motion. Because of this, the UK's Ministry of Defence invested £1.1 million, or $1.8 million, in a new robotic mannequin that will test protective suits and equipment for the UK's armed forces. The project is named Porton Man, named after the UK's military science park, Porton Down, and is able to emulate the movements of a soldier, march, sit, kneel, and pose. This is similar to Boston Dynamics' Petman, which is a tethered humanoid robot that may be used for testing protective gear. However, Porton Man is equipped with more than 100 sensors that monitor in real time the performance of the tested article. With €7 million, or about $9.7 million in grants, the European Robotics Challenge, or EuroC, hopes to bring Europe to the forefront of grant-induced innovation. Registration opened April 1st after an announcement by a consortium of leading roboticists and research institutions from across Europe. The competition has the goal of involving whole supply chains and fostering collaboration among application experts, technology suppliers, system integrators, service providers, and potential end users. The competition will consist of three industry-relevant challenges that ultimately aim to spur innovation in areas that are important for the future of the European manufacturing industry. The money for the grants was funded through the European Commission and will be awarded throughout the duration of the four-year program. The project coordinator, Bruno Siciliano, says, "For the first time in public-funded research, teams of challengers and end users will work hand-in-hand on common platforms and compete to achieve technology transfer where performance success is keenly benchmarked." For more information on robotic mannequins and robotic competitions, visit robohub.org.
The clamping technology and gripping systems company Schunk was founded in 1945 in Laufen, Germany, in a garage. It has come a long way since then, but remains to this day a family-run business. Managing partner Heinrich Schunk already spoke to us about Schunk manipulators in episode 80, back in 2011. Since then, much has changed for the company, with a vast number of new products and a range of awards and prizes. So in this episode, Mr. Schunk speaks to our interviewer Per about the origins of Schunk, its current business, and its future manipulators.
So, welcome to the podcast. Today I'm here with Heinrich Schunk, and I'm very grateful for him taking the time to do an interview and also hosting us for other interviews during Schunk Expert Days, which is a great event. So, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you. Could you tell us how Schunk got started in robotics? Where is the origin of the company? Most listeners probably know Schunk a bit, but they might not know how this story got started.
Yes, I can do that. My grandfather Friedrich founded the company in 1945 and did all kinds of repairs for farmers at that time. In 1945, the Second World War destroyed a lot of things, and he got all these repairs to do, and it was from the very beginning clear that he was very technical oriented. He was a thinker. And that's also a little bit of DNA of the company. We always have over the decades techniques, and technology is one of our key or major capabilities. The first products were the chuck jaws for our lace chuck product line. And that was invented by my father. He found out that everybody was cutting from steel bars their own jaws. And he said, hey, why can we not build them as a standard catalog product? And nowadays we have, with almost 1,500 ID numbers, the biggest program in the market. And it went on and on. And it was almost always my father who put a new product line in. The gripping product line came into the company in 1983. So we had last year 30 years of Schunk grippers. And it's a kind of combination of innovation, new product lines, plus internationalization that brought the company to over 2,000 employees. We have now 2,050 employees. And we will continue in that pattern to bring always something new to the market. That's very important. That has customer benefit included. Not only a product, but a customer benefit must be in the product. And we will continuously start new subsidiaries in the world. And the company will grow like that. The gripper side is our main product line. Most of the people know us for grippers. And in that aspect, or in that development of the company, we came across a company in Berlin that was called Amtec in 2004. And we included this company, or bought that company. And the company is now called Mobile Gripping Solutions. That's a part or component area where we want to supply the service robotic industry with arms.
Mm. And they're modular, so you can go with 3 degrees of freedom or 4 or 5 exactly. up to 6.
Whatever the customer needs, yeah. Exactly.
Yes. I also understand that it is quite common to use it as a additional degree of freedom on an existing robotic arm or in a right. solution like that.
Right, that would be like, how is it called, like an actuator or additional
degree of freedom.
Missing the world at the moment. Yes, degree of freedom, yes.
Yeah. So the gripper that is your key here is the problem with the gripper as opposed to the regular robot is that it has to integrate with a huge variety of things that the industry need to grip, from soft to hard, from rough to delicate items. Could you tell us a bit about how you, because you develop grippers that are then kept as a standard item. The customer can just order them from the shelf. They don't have to commission you to do a custom gripper every time, right?
That's correct. In, I would say, 80% of the cases, we can supply a standard gripper off the shelves. In 20%, we customize the gripper for the application of the customer. Mm.
How did you, because of course you want to deliver as much as you can from standard components. How did you map out the field that your customers are interested in, their item they're interested in gripping, and try to optimize your line of grippers? How did you kind of explore that space?
Well, I think the 80% of our products go to mainly three industry segments. That is automotive applications, assembly line manufacturing, where machine tool builders are involved. And the third is everything that has to be that is connected with cutting chips. And in that area, I think the range of products is is not that complex to be not managed. On the other hand, it's already, if you look at our gripping catalog, it's a catalog that is like a telephone book broad. But we can manage that very clearly. It's not that easy to implement gripping solutions into other industry segments. You have to be really an expert and you have to closely get to know the industry segment first. You have to build up product specialists or industry segment specialists that have to listen to the customer and their needs. So still after 30 years, we have still high potential in all kinds of other industry segments. I think we do not know each industry segment where we are in. I'm always when I travel, I'm always fascinated to see applications that I have never seen before, where a shunk gripper is also playing a role. But I would say in many cases, it is still for us a huge potential to go into, for instance, medical industry, and find out what gripping applications are needed. The second very intensive potential we see in that new market of the future in the service robotics, and there we can play the same role as a component manufacturer and start with maybe 2-3 industry segments. We see huge volume possibilities and supply gripping arms and lightweight arms, gripping hands and lightweight arms to these segments.
Yeah, we're talking agriculture, harvesting of fruit or...
Maybe not in these areas, but there will be other areas, for instance, intralogistical things or manufacturing, measuring tasks. So we will make the same appearance again as we did on the gripping standard solutions. We will watch the industry, we will find out the potential, where is high volume, and what is close to our competence. And then we go after these markets in the service robotics industry. And it is, after 7 years, you mentioned the expert days in the very beginning, after 7 years, one can say that I personally feel that now a real strategy, that the time for this is now right.
Yes, we feel that in the podcast too, that so much has happened in robotics in the last years.
I would say 3-4 years ago, everybody was talking and everybody was showing up in their talks, possible strategies. But now I think it's the time where the market will be explored.
We also see that more and more systems are actually put out there that is very different from the industrial robots we had maybe 10 years ago.
Right. So, and I mean, to win a market, you have to always know what markets are interesting, which applications are you competent in, what platform products are you supplying or do you have, and what technology is already in the market known and is not new to the people. Take, for instance, ROS. That's something that is in the academic world. It's everywhere. Now they do the same entrepreneurial thinking. They look, how can we get into industry applications with our software? And so it's... I think it's getting, the next 5 years, it will be a really interesting time for service robotics and for all suppliers of components to this industry.
When you define service robotics, which is a huge area going from care of people to doing virtually everything a robot could do except building cars, how do you define service robotics for Schunk? What is the niche within service robotics that you're interested in working with right now?
Well, it's a wide range of core service robotics. You can. There are so many possible applications in the future.
Is it business to business? Is it business to consumer?
We will only look, the next 5 years, we will only look for business to business. Business to consumer, our competence is not there at the moment. And that's okay. Business to business has a lot of opportunities. I think that if you take, for instance, the Baxter example, that is the goal of the Baxter is to help small and medium-sized companies to gain productivity. I think that service robots in collaboration with human beings will be, it will not, it's not a trend in the future, because we are talking since almost 2 years about man-machine cooperation. And I think there will be a field where a lot of suppliers will get into it.
Hmm. Especially now with the new health and safety standard that's been accepted.
And we'll put some new innovations into the market. Safety is a big topic into this. So everybody's talking about safety at the moment. And that's very important also for us as a gripping company or lightweight arm company to make sure that our products are safe and that nothing happens to workers. And I'm really curious how the development into that aspect will continue and who will supply the first real safe overall system. At the moment, to me, it's always one safe component. It is a robot or is a gripper or is a sensoring system. But the whole, the overall package of assembled product is to me at the moment a big, I would say not say obstacle, but
it's a challenge.
A challenge, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Especially, I mean, for the robot arm, your modular robot arm, there's a lot of work going around there. But as a gripping company, you face a unique challenge in the fact that you actually have to put force on objects because you're gripping them, and then detecting whether that is something you're actually supposed to put force on or something you shouldn't put force on.
Right.
How do you see that challenge? And you could probably answer that better than anyone because you're specialized in gripping.
Right. Well, we already have in our three finger hand called SDH tactile sensors included. There will be the development in that aspect will go further too, that's for sure. But to us, but that's always if you are there where your competence is, you feel competent and confident. I don't think that should be a problem for us to make sure that the gripping situations, flexible as they are and more flexible as they get, should be handled by Schunk. For us, the complexity after the hand, with everything around safety aspects, sensing aspects, dynamics aspects, that will be for us more of a challenge than the actual hand.
Mm. You mentioned the three-finger hand. Could you describe that one a bit?
Well,
because it's quite different from the regular industrial gripper.
Industrial gripper is a two-finger hand normally. There's our PCN gripper is also a three-finger gripper. I mean, the main thing about that product is that it's an intelligent hand. It's not in comparison to the pneumatic hand, where you can just open and close. You can manipulate the hand to the solution or to the application you need. If you need, you can control the gripping force. You can control how far the hand should open or close. You can have middle positions of the fingers. You can move the fingers around, so you can make a round grip. You can have a concentric grip. You can have a two-finger grip. So it's a very, very flexible hand.
Able to adapt to a wide range. And again, the modularity, having one gripper for many items by changing the configuration.
It can grip small parts, but it can also have a big stroke. So depending on the part, on the piece you need to grip, you're flexible.
You also developed a human-inspired hand, a five-finger hand.
Right.
How does that fit into this? Is it an actual product or is it a research project?
It's at the moment. It's for the industrial purpose. It's a prototype. For the academic world, we have sold now 25 pairs, which is not bad, I think. For industrial purposes, there are a lot of challenges to fulfill when it comes to harsh environments or sensing tasks, or I mean, also stability tasks. You know, if in the industry world, if you can only pick 2 kilograms, then your flexibility goes down immediately. In the research world, up to 2, 3, 4 kilograms is just fine. So at the moment, it's a product for academia world. And the next step will be to bring it as an industrial type.
I understand that with one unique opportunity that the five-finger hand and maybe the three-finger hand too is also that it can manipulate the object it's gripped after it has gripped it. It can do what a human easily do is, for instance, playing with the orange in your hand, you can make it turn and you can adjust it. So you can grip it in one way. Without letting go, you could adjust the item you picked up to the desired location in the hand. Is this true? Could you describe that?
I think that's possible. But the short and quick answer is the human hand is unbeatable at the moment.
Yeah. But it has a slight development advantage over your five-finger hand, since it's about 4 billion years in the making.
Exactly, because everything everything a human hand does is just autonomous, so to say, or it's a natural movement.
Yeah, it's a reflex.
It's a reflex movement. On each position of the five fingers, you have to send into the brain of the robot or of the controller some information, then it has to go back. And I mean, the natural thing of a hand is very, very complex.
Mm-hmm. If we started at the beginning of the company, now we might end at the future. Where do you see the future in these advanced, like, hand look-alike manipulators as a gripping company? Do you see your future there, where the big potential for new developments are?
Oh, absolutely.
And if there's any students or professors out there looking, what kind of technology are you really looking for? Is it better skin-type sensors, or is it processing, or...?
Well, that's a question far in the future. I think the first target for us needs to be to get as close to the human hand as possible. And after doing that, you need more dynamics, you need more quicker information flow, etc., etc. You need sensing opportunities, new tactile sensors. And after that, I think there will be the next step of improvement of a hand. And that goes, I think that improvement will go with the development of the markets of robots itself. I think that if the smart factory comes, there will be so many new opportunities how robots should look like and what they need to do. And in that aspect, as the hand is part of the body, which is the robot in the industrial world, the application will come naturally to us.
And as you said, the human hand is a wonderful tool, and it also has a wide range of applications. It can play a violin and it can build you a stone bridge.
Biggest flexibility.
Yeah. And that be able to address the wide variety of topics and tasks we're looking at, as opposed to the industrial world where the topics and tasks are quite limited. If we would extrapolate your 1,500 grippers being able to support 80% of the market when it is in an industrial setting quite limited, if you then have the wider range, you'd have to have 15 million grippers, and then we need a new solution for that, I guess.
So to summarize a little bit, with the smart factory, the flexibility and the intelligence will go up. That means immediately that the same needs to happen for the hands.
How close is the five-finger hand to the autonomy of the of a human hand? Can it do the same movements?
I don't think that it can do the same movements at the moment.
Do you see that we will, in within a reasonable time, see a hand that can do a reasonable range of the same motions?
I have to forward that question to our R&D department.
To the researcher.
I hope they come out with something. Yeah. But soon, I don't think soon. I don't think it is. Soon is for me within one year.
Mm-hmm.
It will not be in 1 year.
Oh, so we'll have to wait for that a bit.
I think so.
So it was very nice to talk to you and start with the repairing of the tractor and end with what is a fully acceptable five-finger human hand copy.
Thank you very much
for taking the time to do a podcast.
Thank you very much.
And that's all for today. Hopefully you've enjoyed the look behind the scenes of one of the most successful companies in clamping technology and gripping systems. If you're keen to learn more, just visit our website at robotspodcast.com. We'll be back in May. Until then, goodbye. Shunk with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.